Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, back with another live episode of the Bully Ball Podcast on the Gold Standard Podcast Network. I'm Jason Aponte, joined as always by Steph Sanchez. Steph, it's March. It's spring. That can only mean one thing. People getting irrationally angry about the media madness bracket that is now out, and you guys should all go vote on goldstandardniners.com. Links in the description. Steph, how are we feeling about our first round matchup? I just got to look at it. I'll be honest. I didn't really look at it too much. It looks like there's a lot more names, and shout out to everybody who joined. But how are we feeling about this first round matchup? They didn't put me against you this time.
Yeah, I know, man. That was that's brutal. They put Vish against Rich, though, which is I thought was pretty crazy. It's like to watch the tape, you know, Disciples right there.
It's very level-headed, Vish, you know, and I like to do his impression. I'm not going to do it. And, man, who cares, man? I bet that's, like, when it came out, I bet you Rich looked at it and was like, not this again, man.
But, no, it's all in good fun, you know. You know, I'm excited about it. I'm going up against Brian Rennick. You know, he puts out some great content as well. So I'm sure it'll be a tough battle. But, yeah, it's nice to see a lot of names out there because – there's a lot of 49ers content creators out there where 49er fans are just so lucky, you know, to have so much content out there in all types, right? Like everyone puts out, you know, their own kind of spin on it. So, yeah, vote.
Yeah, make sure you go out there and vote. Vote for your favorite people. Vote against the people you don't like. There's a lot of strong opinions about the 49er content creator world because – there's people that'll just say, oh my God, I straight up love these people. Or someone is just like, I hate this person. Like, you know how many times like I've looked at my Twitter and I've looked through my mentions and people are just like, I really hate you. I'm just like, damn, well, good morning to you too, pal. Like, geez, man. I don't go to your job and knock the broom out of your hand. Shit. All right. Anyway, speaking of content, George Kittle and Debo Samuel are about to be Netflix stars. And not in Ozark and not in any sort of Netflix
documentary. Not Love is Blind.
Not Love is Blind. But it's receiver. So it was quarterback initially, which had Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and for some reason, Marcus Mariota. And this one's receiver. Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, and Davante Adams. Steph, this team cannot stop being in front of the damn camera.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I mean, obviously, it was content from this past season. I'm just waiting for some fan to be like, they were distracted, and that's why they did so poorly in the Super Bowl. Like, you know, it's coming, Jay. And I'm curious to see if they will have any content, you know, from the Super Bowl and leading up to that week. I'm excited to see it. As a fan, like, I love to get an inside look at, you know, players' lives and, you know, their day-to-day, you know, just things we don't normally get to see, and especially two players as entertaining as Debo and George Kittle in their own ways, right? And, you know, the other guys who are included as well. I actually like this idea a little bit better than the quarterback thing, and I know they had a hard time getting quarterbacks to even sign up for this for a second season, so now they had to pivot a little bit, but I kind of like this pivot because I think receivers are one of, if not the most entertaining position groups in all of football.
Yeah, and this is the thing too, is I loved that quarterback show because of the inside stuff, right? Like when Kirk Cousins mm-hmm. lost that game to the New York Giants, like him going home and taking care of his kid, and it even gave me a little bit more of respect for Patrick Mahomes too. I love this sort of stuff. I obviously am joking when it comes to this, but give me more of these behind the scenes things. I love you know, inside the NFL and Hard Knocks and anytime that you can get behind the curtain, right? Like a little bit. I even loved All or Nothing when I was on Amazon. So this is going to be really cool. Honestly, it's going to be cool to see what sort of training habits they have, because I think that's been a point of contention with Debo Samuel, even though nobody really knows like what goes on, you know, with his training habits and things like that. But it'll be pretty cool to see this. I'm excited. Honestly, we need something else to talk about right now, aside from the upcoming quarterback controversy that'll be made up because the Pastronaut is now a San Francisco 49er. Obviously, that's sarcasm, guys. But I'm just saying, you know, somebody is going to start it. Great Fox, thanks for the donation. You the man, Jason. Appreciate that, my boy. But yeah, I think this is going to be cool. Honestly, seeing Justin Jefferson and Devontae Adams and Amon-Ra, like, those are like some of the best guys in the league. And Justin Jefferson is my favorite player in the league. So I'm excited. I don't see anything wrong with this.
I want to see some Devontae Adams, Jimmy Garoppolo interactions. Can we get some of that in there as well?
Los Angeles Rams legend Jimmy Garoppolo? I can't believe this is happening.
What a crazy offseason, like with the quarterback carousel, right?
Yeah. You know, some of the things, you know, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are out here crushing it, man. Like, I mean, obviously. All right, you know what? We could talk about that for two reasons. Because one, there's a report out there that the Pittsburgh Steelers actually reached out for Brandon Ayuk. I think this goes without saying, when you're a good football player, teams are going to reach out. Man. I could reach out to Rihanna in the DM, and it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Hey, Sydney Sweeney. Hey, Sydney Sweeney. I'd love to take you out on a date. I reached out.
Don't you dare.
We're fighting. But I reached out to Sydney Sweeney, and I didn't get anything. I don't get it. Like, it's no need to act up. Of course, people are going to go after football players. But yeah, that's the way that I'm gonna put it into perspective.
I don't know why it annoys me. Like, I'm starting to get annoyed by it because I think like people automatically see those reports and think the 49ers are shopping Brandon Ayuk. No, they're not. They're getting phone calls as they should be. Like, literally every team in the NFL besides the 49ers are gonna be calling the 49ers, you know what I mean? And they're going to be asking about Brandon Ayuk. And that's it. Like, duh. Like, no shit. They're going to be interested in Ayuk. I mean, it's just so dumb to, you know, make a big deal out of it. I think it's nothing more than, you know, what happens every year. Of course, teams are going to poke around and just see what the status is on that. If we know anything about the 49ers, I mean, you better come with some kind of package if you're trying to get Brandon Ayuk. Now, is that asking for too much for Brandon Ayuk? Yeah, perhaps. But part of the reason that they would set the price so high is because they actually want to keep him. So not only are you paying for Brandon Ayuk, but not only would you be giving up X amount for Brandon Ayuk, you'd also be giving up the 49ers' right, I guess, to claim him. I don't know how to say that, but I think you know what I mean, right? Like,
right.
Obviously the 49ers want to keep him, so you got to pay a little bit extra in order to let them have you. Or, man, Jay, just go. I didn't have enough coffee today, I guess.
Breaking news. Teams are interested in good football players.
I almost said that. It's just so ridiculous. It's like, yeah, everyone is interested in Brandon Ayuk. Newsflash, buddy.
Newsflash. So, speaking of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and this isn't a Steelers podcast, but I am going to tie it to the 49ers, so just stay with me. They overhauled their quarterback room. Kenny Pickett goes to Philadelphia, Mason Rudolph leaves, and they're paying two quarterbacks a total of $4 million. One is Russell Wilson, and one is Justin Fields. Why do I bring this up? Because naturally, as soon as Justin Fields got traded, what did it turn back to, Steph? Well, that's why the 49ers went and they got something better for Trey Lance instead of just giving away Justin Fields for a sixth. I want to go back down memory lane just a little bit. That draft, that trade up to three with Miami, that was a glorious time. Because this fan base and everybody, we all killed each other over who was going to be the pick. Is it Mac? Is it going to be Trey? Is it going to be Justin? Right? And it's so crazy. Trevor Lawrence is the only starter. Zach Wilson is still on the Jets. Trey Lance has started four games. Justin Fields is the backup right now, it seems, in Pittsburgh. And Mac Jones is the backup to Trevor Lawrence. That entire draft group, boy, did we miss the mark on that one. Supposed to be one of the best draft classes for quarterbacks ever. But, man, just thinking back on all those names and where they are now and what we had to go through in terms of, like, fighting each other and what we thought, man, it boggles the mind to see these guys in different uniforms.
I get that it's like somewhat relevant because of, you know, the 49ers having traded Trey Lance last season, but I don't care. Oh. I don't care anymore. Like I'm so over that whole discourse of, oh, this quarterback is better than this quarterback because look how we did it, or look how much draft capital was given up for him. You can look back at that particular draft, or you can look at what they're getting in return for them now, you know, in 2024. And it's not much. I mean, like you said, I think every team pretty much whiffed on that one in their own way. And I don't care. Like I've moved on. I think the 49ers have moved on. It's like, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't move me, Jay.
Breaking news, and this is going to move everyone. Brandon Ayuk has just tweeted. He added Mike Tomlin, and he said, "They saying we twins. What you think?" I'm sure that everybody's going to be level-headed about this. And
yeah,
not
exactly.
He's having fun with it. It's obvious trolling.
Exactly.
It's obvious trolling. Stop. And they've already said that before, that he looks like Mike Tomlin. That's obviously trolling. Come on. Guys, please don't look. Of all the things that we could be freaking out about, of all the things that we could really have a problem with, don't do this. Don't do this. Please don't do this. Anyway, let's start a new narrative and let's start a new controversy. You ready? Hot take: Josh Dobbs is going to take Brock Purdy's job. I'm imitating someone who's eventually going to start saying that. Obviously, I'm sarcastic, but the 49ers do have a new quarterback too. It's the Pastronaut. He's a rocket scientist. He's probably already learned the playbook. His name is Josh Dobbs. What do you think?
I love this move. I love this move. I already liked the 49ers having bringing Brandon Allen back. And I had come to terms kind of with the idea of Brandon Allen being like the backup this season, right? And then bringing in maybe like a rookie or some other rando. But I love this. I love this a lot. I think Josh Dobbs has, obviously, he's a really smart player. And I think he's shown the ability to catch on to new offenses very quickly. I mean, every team that he's gone to, and he went to a few this past season, right? And right off the bat, he was asked to pretty much go in and play, and he looked pretty good. Now, the problem was with Dobbs is that if does fizzle out, or it has, you know, last season he kind of had some insanity runs with each team that he was with. It fizzled out. There were a lot of turnovers. But I like this because I think Brian Griese has done a good job of, you know, kind of limiting the turnovers for the quarterbacks of the 49ers. And so I think this could be good for Dobbs, and this could be good for Purdy because should anything happen to Purdy, should, you know, he miss a game or anything, like, I think Dobbs is one of the best probably backup options in all of the league. So I like in the 49ers quarterback room right now. I think it's pretty much set. They'll probably bring in someone for camp. Maybe they bring in an undrafted free agent or something like that. But I say it's pretty much set with those three guys, and I would feel very, very comfortable with that as well.
And I think that's the way it should be viewed, is if pressed into duty, you feel good about it because his game can translate to just running the football, which is what the 49ers do. He can add, you know, a little bit of something with his own legs. You know, think back to like the Trey Lance package type thing. I think that's something that could be on the table as well. And I think your point about it fizzling out is the point that should be smashed home, is backups tend to do that. That's what backups do. Backups shouldn't be playing more than one or two games, three games, mm-hmm. right? If you have a stretch where, unfortunately, Brock Purdy's hurt, and now it's three games where you've got Josh Dobbs, you really just need him to steady the ship, hopefully go 2-1, you know, maybe go 1-2, but you're prepared to do that. So when people are like, oh, well, look how bad it went, they're not asking Josh Dobbs is not coming here to start. And I don't think that he should have been asked to start that many games for other teams. And I think, again, when you're thinking about the room, you know, everybody was fine with Sam Darnold being there last year. I would say that recently Josh Dobbs has had more success than Sam Darnold, at least, right? Like, at least winning games. He had, again, Linsanity runs a perfect way to put it. I think that's hilarious, actually. But if he's asked for one or two games, three games, hand the football off, manage the game, let our defense keep us in the game, and we'll score enough points, no problem. I think this is a great move, and I think it's a high-value character guy that this team loves to bring in, and it just works. This one really works, and it's something that I never thought about because I really thought that they were just going to run it with Purdy and Allen, possibly draft someone else at the end of the draft, maybe. So, this is fine. I think this is fine, and I think it's something that may not be a high-impact move or anything like that. And, of course, you know, we got to get our jokes off because he is an astronaut. He actually works for NASA. He's a rocket scientist, but it's going to be fine if he has to step in for a game or two, and I think that's the best way it should be viewed.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting to me. I was doing a live yesterday talking about the possibility of Zach Wilson, you know, being signed by the 49ers.
How
right?
angry did that make like, people, right? That How was angry a... did that make people?
As it should. I mean, but like at the same time, what I said is like, if the 49ers signed Zach Wilson, it would be so insignificant. Like, look at how much we were up in arms about Sam Darnold joining the 49ers, you know, last season. And it didn't even matter. Like, it was just so insignificant. It would be no different. So I'm saying Josh Dobbs is significant in the sense that, you know, I don't think he's going to start, you know, many games, if any at all, for the 49ers, but I like the move just because I think he does add something to that room, just on some of the things we mentioned. I also like, you know, the fact that he's a bit mobile as well. He can use his legs. Maybe that's something that, you know, Brock Purdy can maybe take some few pointers on him. Brock, you know, is could use his legs too as well, but, you know, I think maybe Dobbs can teach him a few moves. I don't know, but I think it would be great. Wherever Dobbs has gone, he's been liked by the teams, by the coaches. So, good move all around.
JKBG says, with him at the helm, This JKBG says, with him at the helm, they can finally run the annexation of Puerto Rico. Love a good Little Giants reference. That's perfect. And then JKBG also says, Dobbs the Pastronaut, Darnold the persistent manager at Arby's.
Oh no.
He got $10 million. He's right now technically the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, barring some sort of trade up, which it feels like they're kind of getting into position four to try to get to number four with Arizona. It sounds like they really want JJ McCarthy. But yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. This is just something that you need to have to insulate your room. The 49ers made all of their other signings very official finally, so everybody can stop freaking out. Leonard Floyd, Devondre Campbell. The lineman from the Raiders was a little bit of something that nobody really reported, and the 49ers kind of just dropped there. So that's more depth. He plays tackle, so that's more depth. All right, we might as well just talk about it, Steph. Feliciano's back. They're adding another tackle. The 49ers are not running this offensive line back. I want to explain what I mean. They're not running it back. What they're doing is there's three possibilities for the 49ers. One, and this is the baseline one, you can run back this offensive line. I don't think this is plan A, but you still have that in your back pocket. Two, you find a guy in the draft that you really like and you go get him. Or three, once you get that guy and he shows up at camp and he beats other people out, he starts. So when you see Feliciano coming back, when you see McKibbitz coming back, it doesn't mean that the 49ers are dead set on plan A, just saying we're just running it back with this offensive line. You know, there's going to be no sort of additions. This is a safety net in case the guy that they want gets drafted, or they can't identify a guy, or they draft someone who doesn't pan out. You always, like, everything needs to be considered. The 49ers aren't just running it back with this offensive line. That's their safety net, is we made a Super Bowl with this offensive line, and we're a few plays away from winning. So now, if worst case scenario happens and we don't find the guy, or we draft someone and he doesn't pan out and he doesn't look like a day one starter, now you can go back to the offensive line that went to the Super Bowl. That's just my two cents.
Correct. I think at worst they would run it back with the same group. At worst. And that's not bad. Like, that's not even bad,
they
right?
The
like
Super Bowl. They made exactly. The Super Bowl with that offensive line.
Exactly. So I'll, like, you know, say what you want about that right side, right? But you know, the facts are facts. They did get to where they needed to be with that group. And so worst case scenario, they would run it back with that group. But I don't think it keeps the 49ers from drafting a guy who could potentially beat out Colton McKivitz, who could potentially beat out Feliciano. I mean, they always look for competition at every position, so it's going to be no different this time around. Like, a lot of people thought right off the bat, oh, they extended Colton McKivitz. Getting the tackle in the first round is definitely off the table now. Why? Why?
Right.
Why? Why would it be? You know, like, so Colton McKivitz is not that dude that's going to keep a team from doing anything, you know? So I think offensive line definitely going to be addressed in this draft, as it should be. I think when you look at the moves they've made this offseason, and we've been saying it, like, it, they're setting themselves up for best player available. And not just that, but I think obviously they're setting themselves up to address offense in this draft. It's going to be a tackle heavy, wide receiver heavy draft. And so it's smart the way they've kind of been replenishing the smaller positions or the defensive side of things, special teams, all that. Like, it's been really smart how they've been going about it. No splash moves like we thought, but still very productive in what they've been doing. And yeah, I would definitely expect the 49ers to still even double dip on offensive line come draft day.
Again, worst case scenario is this line. Best case scenario is you draft a dude and he shows up to training camp and he kicks everyone's ass and all of a sudden he's starting. And you can throw out whatever Kyle Shanahan doesn't play rookies narrative out the window. If a guy's whipping everybody's ass, he's going to start. So again, let's settle in, guys. Like, again, this just feels like part of the process. And again, what they're trying to do is be ultimately flexible for a trade up, identify a guy, go get him, draft the guy that they want. And again, you have to put all of your possibilities on the table. You can't just draft a guy in the first round and say, well, you're a day one starter, go. You know, like, and then what happens? If he goes out there and he's getting his ass beat the entire time, what did it do? You know, again, like, you have to have that. And the Colin McKibbis thing too, with the money, they're like, oh, $7 million is a starter. What if Colin McKibbis is now your Daniel Brunskill? Because he has flexibility, left tackle, right tackle, right guard. Like, and he needs to step in for somebody. And he's just like one of those guys that just bounces around whenever needed. So I don't know if there's too much to take away from the moves other than they're just insulating themselves at this point. And I know they like to use that word. And what's the other one? Convicted and all that stuff. So it's kind of like seeped into my mind. Insulate, convicted. There's a lot of those words there that are like buzzwords for, you know, the team organization guys. So. But yeah, look, it doesn't mean that the 49ers are not going to be drafting. I doubt that very seriously. Daza says O-line was also a significant factor in them losing a Super Bowl, not being able to block Chris Jones. If they want a ring, they need to go heavy in the O-line in the draft. Yeah, and John Feliciano got hurt in the Super Bowl. He was playing pretty well. Everything was kind of going the right way. And then you have that injury. Burford misses an assignment. And then Chris Jones just ends up showing up again. Oh, Mark says they're doing their due diligence. Excellent. That's excellent. That's the third one. That's such a good 49ers buzz.
We need like buzzword bingo because.
Buzzword bingo. Excellent. Or do a drinking game for the 49ers press conferences. And if you hear convicted, due diligence, insulated, take a shot. We'll all be wasted.
They're going to be speaking with the media like next week, right? At the league meetings, so I'm sure we'll get a couple of those. Rob, hey, set up the bingo.
And if you're gonna do the drinking game, call out of work, guys. Call out of work. Brick by brick. That's another good one.
Not,
that's
a really good one. It's so good.
hey, do it responsibly, guys. I'm not advocating for it, but I'm not gonna stop you if you want to. Anyway, that's what I feel like is going on with the offensive line. I think again, you know, there is someone who said the same thing as well too. Convicted Diego said that's the other one too. I believe that it was someone in there that said, there's another possibility with this offensive line. Is there a possibility that the offensive line could get better? Like, Colin McKibbis gets another season under, you know, Feliciano's there. It's for like, maybe Brendel gets a little bit better. I don't want to bet on that. I don't know if that's a strong possibility, but it's a possibility. And Mark says, is a word? Because if you do with Kyle, oh, forget it. Like, you're done.
Do your impersonation of Kyle.
You know, I think Colton did great. Colton, you know, when we watch the tape and we look back, you know, Colton did great. You know, I think there's a lot of plays that we can clean up. And I think a lot of that starts with me and the guys in here, but you know, I think he's doing fine.
No, too much accountability there, but
whoa,
I'm kidding.
but yeah, I mean, look again. It's early on right now. No need to get all, you know, crazy about things, right? We're getting closer and closer to the draft. It does sound like when you look at all the mock drafts that the 49ers are going to address tackle, guard, you know, we're going to find out. Is it Grant Barton? Is it Mims? You know, could it be Jordan Morgan, right? Like, there's a lot of guys in this first round that it possibly could happen. So let's see. How fun is it to look at a mock draft again? Good God, he's absolutely right. That's Rob talking. Boxing fan times four. Roger Rosengarten could be a steal at OT in day two. He's a sophomore who was expected to return to Washington. So that's the thing, too. If the 49ers in the first round do not take an offensive lineman, that is no need for you to freak out, right? Okay. Because there could be a guy in round two, maybe round three, maybe the pick that they got penalized for. Oops, sorry, I had to make sure I got that one in there, too, as well. But I think what frustrates 49ers fans is not the investment on the line, because the 49ers have invested in the line. They just haven't invested high-end picks, first-round guys, second round. Like, second round is banks only. Everybody else has kind of either been stopgap guys that they brought in from other places and later in the draft. I think what 49ers fans want to see is a first-round guy, somebody who can move the needle right away or sooner, because all those other guys have to sit and be developed a little bit more. Wouldn't you say that that's the frustration? It's not the investment. They've invested, but what have they invested? They haven't invested those high-end picks.
Well, yeah, probably the highest would be mostly second round. You know, they've done Aaron that. Banks. But, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think, especially at a position like tackle, I feel like they like to develop guys, but tackle's one of those positions where I want a day one starter, you know, like get someone who's a sure thing, who has had the experience in college, not someone who maybe you're trying to groom into that spot and develop into, and maybe it wasn't his main position in college, but you want to move him over, you know, like no experimenting. Right. Like I just want like a day one starter. Right. And I think that's a frustration, right? Cause there's a lot of like developing, like Nick Zakel. I know he was like a later pick, but it's like, there was a lot of hype around him just because the 49ers hyped him up. And oh, like we like him at center. We see him as a center of the future. Then it came time, Jason like, Poe. What happened to Jason Poe? Like, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, there's like, no, no. It's like the Jack Nicholson meme, like, no, no.
Yeah, he's like, no, oh God. And like Daz is saying, the frustration is also the complete disparity between D-line and O-line investments, right? So that makes a lot of sense, 100%. I think, again, it's always kicking the can down the road, the next guy or the next year. And this is what we talked about. The last two drafts have been filled with so many of, well, he's got to develop a little, got to give him a little more time. No. Like, you need right now to get guys who are on the cusp of contributing or can compete or go right away. It can't be any more of that. It really can't be any more of that. And apparently we got breaking news. Jerry Jeudy just got a 3-year contract extension worth up to $58 million, including $41 million. What are the Browns doing? What are the Browns doing? Are you dumb?
About 19 per year.
Are you dumb? Jerry Jeudy, $41 million guaranteed? What? Man.
What? I mean, what? You got to talk about how that may affect.
Yeah. I mean, right, we'll talk about how that affects Brandon Ayuk. Can we just talk about how this is stupid business? Not only are you dumb enough to give Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract, you are now dumb enough to give that much money to Jerry Jeudy, who literally has caught maybe 30 more passes than you and I, Steph?
It's baffling. It reminds me of when the Jags, you know, gave Christian Kirk like that ridiculous contract as well, and it just like messed up the entire wide receiver market for like that whole offseason. Teams were pissed. Yeah, I'm sure some teams are a little pissed at this move too, because rightfully so, other wide receivers who are waiting for a contract gonna point at that and be like, well, this dude got that much. Okay, I want this much. I mean, it happens every year, right? And the way that the 49ers handle their contracts, we know that they happen around camp. By then, a lot of the, you know, guys who are waiting for their contracts usually will get theirs before then. So the 49ers kind of have to compete or fall in line with what the market has kind of set for all those other guys. So that's kind of the drawback of the 49ers waiting so long to extend some of these guys. But yeah, it's getting interesting.
It's getting spooky. And honestly, June 2nd, there's going to be a lot more money that come in after the Eric Armstead money is cleared as well, too. That's when you kind of will see some traction. But you know, I said this during the time when they signed Deshaun Watson. You know, Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, nobody wanted to sign because whatever. But if you're Lamar Jackson and you're a unanimous MVP and you've never done anything wrong off the field and you look at Deshaun Watson get all that money from the Cleveland Browns and the guaranteed money, why wouldn't you walk to your agent and say, I want that. He's never done anything in this league that I've done. I want that. Right? So that's kind of where we are now here. It doesn't make any sense. It's literally like now, because the market is always highest paid, then the next highest paid, everybody is like doing the next because everybody's pointing at the next person.
Yep.
The next person. So I'm trying to understand, like, what do you see in Jerry Jeudy that would force you to give him that amount of money? Because I don't even think he's better than Amari Cooper. And like, maybe there was something that we could point to where we're like, well, he's open. He wasn't getting the ball. Well, he's just been a little in. It's none of that. I mean, he's not a tough route runner. He's much more finesse. He doesn't have strong hands to finish through the contact. do they think that they're just getting, like, they just, like, stumbled on this guy that they're like, oh, we got to lock him up now before he blows up? Like, if this blows up in my face, it's fine. If somebody, if, like, Jerry Jeudy goes off and he has a career year, fine, whatever. You know, clip this, make, you know, go crazy. But why wouldn't Brandon Ayuk say, man, I have more catches this year than he's had his entire career? I don't get it. I don't get it, Steph. It's baffling.
Yeah. I mean, the Broncos had been trying to get rid of, you know, Jeudy via trade for at least 2 years, it feels like. And so, yeah, this it is a little shocking. But, yeah, we'll see how it impacts, you know, the 49ers and Ayuk. I mean, we already mentioned the tweet, you know, that he sent out talking about the Steelers report, basically, more or less, by adding Mike Tomlin on Twitter. But, yeah, I guess we'll just have to see.
All right, Steph, 33 minutes in. I think we're good. Remember, guys, media madness. Go out there, vote, GoStandardNiners.com. Make sure you're subscribed and liking this video on the GoStandard YouTube channel. Make sure you're following Steph on Twitter, at Steph49K. Me, at JasonAponte2103. You know, maybe subscribe to our YouTube channel, too, if you like. You know, there's some good stuff on there. And make sure you guys go to GoStandard Niners for all the news and everything as well, too. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this one play out with Brandon Ayuk, man. But I still, in my heart, believe they'll get it done. So, but on that note, for Steph, for Jay, we're out of here.
Peace.